You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome to the third hour of Up North News for this Wednesday, August 24th. I'm Pat Kreitlow on Lake Wissota. Luke Mathers is somewhere much further to the south and coming to us now from beautiful Northeast Wisconsin. Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We kept her in the waiting room of Zoom as long as possible because she's a doctor. They have to keep them in the waiting room. We sent her a very old magazine to read, and now she's here. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. I think that's changed. I think it's changed entirely since we all have, you know, smartphones now, because we're never really bored anymore.
Oh no, nobody's no, there's no. And plus they, a lot of the magazines, you know, went away during the pandemic and, you know, print media itself. So yeah, I totally see that. We're going to have a little fun later this hour talking about something we put up on Up North News, and that is favorite roadside attractions in the state. So we're going to do some road tripping this hour.
Yes.
But first I'm going to be nice to Luke, and then I'm going to be not so nice. Luke hosts a show in the afternoons, and we need to do a better job when he's got guests of advertising said guests, because you may hear that on some of these fine radio stations. So, Luke, what's on Dueling Tangents today?
Yeah, Brian's going to be out, so I did my homework and actually booked some guests today, which is a little difficult to do sometimes when I'm juggling, but I got some excellent guests for today's show. I got Scott Ross joining me, formerly from One Wisconsin Now. We're going to be talking the student loan news from today with the Biden administration taking executive action. And then I'm also going to be joined by Matt Rothschild in the bottom of the hour of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about the ongoing. Yes, there is
Matt. I have a visual. I'm doing a Vanna White now of Matt's book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin.
Yeah. And so Matt is going to be talking about the ongoing action with the Office of Legal Counsel, Office of Special Counsel. Gableman, yes. Has been let go by Robin Voss. So talking about that as well. It's going to be a good show, 2 to 3 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, but across the Civic Media Network. So tune in, 2 to 3 p.m.
Damn, Luke. I'm impressed. I mean, like, I thought you were going to say, you know, so I invited my buddy and, you know, we're just going to fill some time.
These are like Wisconsin superstars. You know, yeah, right.
That's all post-show stuff, Pat. Yeah, that's after the fact, of course.
Now the other part, Luke. I doubt that you're going to talk to your guests who have such a high reputation about zucchini, but Kristen is here to either defend you or take you to task for actually enjoying this weed that grows in several gardens across Wisconsin. Kristen, where are you on zucchini?
I think that zucchini is wonderful and it makes me think of summer, but I have a hard time eating a lot of it. I love the holiday where you're supposed to sneak a bag of zucchini under your neighbor's porch. That is one of my favorite things.
Wait, you do what?
This is news to me. What?
Yeah. There's a day. It's Sneak Zucchini Under Your Neighbor's Porch Day. I'm not sure what day it is, but I'm sure it's right around this time of year.
What really drew my attention to this, we look back at our traffic online, all of our various posts and things, and sometimes they're longer news stories, and sometimes they're, you know, little humorous bits, and sometimes it's something we repost from elsewhere and give them credit. And there was a local police department that put out a kind of a meme, and we passed it along, and it got the most traffic of anything over the past month. And it said, you know, the so-and-so police department wants to warn everybody to lock your car doors in case somebody otherwise puts a bag of zucchini into it. But under the porch is a new one on me.
We missed August 8th. It's August 8th. Sneak some zucchini under your neighbor's porch day.
We missed it. Darn it.
you were this close.
I wanted to be the victim of that. That sounds like a great holiday to celebrate, and I would welcome anybody that doesn't want their zucchini send it my way, because I don't have a garden this year, and therefore I've eaten zucchini a bunch, and the last thing I want to do is buy it from the grocery store, because I kind of get into like a swing of zucchini in meals, and therefore I need it more, and my fiance likes to bake with it, and it's delicious. We put it in a bunch of stuff. I love it. I'm expecting Pat to bring me some now that he's given me such a hard time over these last couple of days. And he's coming to visit
makes you down think here. I would do something that passive aggressive. I don't, where would you get an idea like that? Kristen, though, you have admitted you probably though have to, for zucchini to be used, you know, throw it in, you know, baked goods or throw a truckload of, you know, seasoning on it or what have you.
Right around August 8th, I spent an entire day of baking and I still have a freezer full of muffins and bread. But I mean, to Luke's point, I think that I grew up in the 60s and 70s when everything was in a can and you could just get everything at will. And I love the seasonality that we are recognizing and that his generation and my kids' generation embraces. Like, there's nothing like going out to your garden and grabbing a warm tomato right off the plant and just putting it directly in your mouth. Nothing tastes like that. A grocery store tomato will never taste like that.
I think that, speaking for my group, which was late baby boomer, early Gen X, from that same time frame, for us, nothing quite beat grabbing a fresh bag of Doritos off the store shelf. I mean, that's how we got our corn back in the day, when Doritos were a brand new product. We're going to talk about what you do when you're road tripping around Wisconsin, whether it's in your car or, in Kristen's case, on a bike. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, you're up north. Yourself a producer who has a quick trigger finger on Hall & Oates on demand. That's how you run a radio show, kids.
It's a red button, actually, in the studio for Luke.
Yeah. There's the dump button in case somebody swears, and then there's the Hall & Oates button if we need to perk up the host real quick. So, welcome back to Up North News, our musical review, which is also going to include a look around Wisconsin, because as I warned people in our post yesterday, don't you be brewing up that pumpkin spice latte just yet. It is still summer in Wisconsin. There's plenty of time left to get around. And one of our freelance contributors put together a video of her favorite roadside attractions. And I'm not giving anything away to go right to the top. Number one for her was the giant muskie in Hayward at the Fishing Hall of Fame there. And, you know, Wisconsin just has a thing for big old fiberglass animals. There's trolls, there's hodags, you know, around Rhinelander. There's not as many Heckel's big steers as there used to be, but every big steer had a big steer outside of it, which reminds me, some other time we're going to talk about the morning radio show that I used to do live from the lunch counter at Heckel's Big Steer in Rice Lake, back when it was there, and other misadventures. But getting back to our roadside attractions, Kristen, those were a few. Oh, and closer to your stomping grounds, they mentioned a 50-foot tall Super Bowl or a Lombardi trophy at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, that's inside of Lambeau, but you can see it from the outside. It is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one more big old fiberglass animal I can't miss. I cannot miss. Chatty Bell. Chatty Bell is this big old cow, talking cow, outside of the Wisconsin Pavilion in Neillsville. It is a unique looking structure that was the Wisconsin Pavilion in the 1964 World's Fair when it was held in New York. And now it's there in little old Neillsville, and Chatty Bell is right in front. And if you push a button, Chatty Bell talks to you. So we love our big fiberglass animals in Wisconsin. So, Kristen, between biking and driving, what kinds of things did you want to contribute to that list?
Well, I'd like to just do a shout out to our other fearless co-host, Kirk Bangstead, and the fiberglass animal we can find up in Minocqua or in the Minocqua area, which is Babe, the blue ox.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got Babe, you got the whole Paul Bunyan shanty there. Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say that we had made a fiberglass statue of Kirk Bankstead or something, but he was the roadside attraction.
That is genius. We should absolutely do that.
Oh, no, no, it's not. Because if we put it anywhere in Minocqua, it's not going to stay in great condition. He advertises that he's the most hated place in town for a reason.
It's true. We could push a button on it and it could say something that Kirk would really say. It would be very amusing. I'm sure.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Because you could have him say things that he can't say when he's not here on the radio with us. That would be phenomenal. I would pay for that, for a talking statue of Kirk Bankstead.
Brilliant.
Let's do this instead at his new tap room there in Minocqua. Let's put up like a life-size, you know, either cardboard cutout or a photo on the wall, and then have you press a button there. And he's either greeting you, welcoming you to the Minocqua Brewing Company, or he's saying something colorful as he, and by the way, Luke, I can't remember if I told you, I have had to use the dump button on Kirk on the Wednesday night show.
Oh, I'm aware. I get reports from other producers. So I was warned when the Up North News podcast was doing the morning edition here that I should be ready, I guess,
yes,
for when Kirk joins in the 10 o'clock hour on Wednesdays. So it's been nice.
And we should note, the only reason he's not here is he's still on his summer break, but he will be back next week. Yes. So Kirk will join us at that point. But all right, well, now that we've come up with roadside attractions for Minocqua, what else, Kristen, have you seen of interest that you think people ought to see?
That's valuable information, Luke, to know that you guys are all talking about us so that, you know, we need to scheme and plan as well. Yeah. But okay, here I've got one that people probably don't really know about. We went down to New Glarus a couple weeks ago and we rode our bikes down to Monroe and had a delightful time. And then the bike trail was closed between Monroe and New Glarus. So we had to take the road back. And there was this period of time, this series of sculptures that someone who owned this land had put just on their own land. There was a John Deere dinosaur and there was a Tin Man. And these were like big sculptures that they had clearly created themselves. It was a whole alley of it. So I think this is one of those very homey artistic expressions that are not as well known, but it was really delightful. I stopped and took a bunch of pictures.
I've seen similar things. I love the, you know, the giant statues and artwork and things like that. There's another one whenever we drive to our daughter who lives in Idaho, and driving across North Dakota, somewhere along there is just a series of large artistic sculptures. And they're just great. So it's not everything has to be kitschy. You know, they don't have to be all, you know, giant trolls and whatnot. But just those places that, you know, remind us that not everything has to be corporate, you know, a five-star resort or whatever the case. There are still just colorful little places. I've talked about, I mean, this is just a flat-out business promotion, but I've talked about stopping for Nasonville Cheese Curds on Highway 29 near Curtis. It's a roadside attraction because it's just this little yellow building that's not quite in the middle of nowhere, but I mean, it's not at an interchange or anything like that, but it's just a great little place to stop and get cheese curds along the way.
Those are the beautiful little treasures that you just have to hunt for. And when you go there, you see, it's like real people. There's a cheese factory just outside of De Pere in the area where I live, and it's called Scray Hill or Scray Cheese. And they're actually making the cheese in this factory. It's an old barn. You walk in, there's somebody behind the counter. They're making the cheese and you can watch them back. They're making the cheese. You walk out with that bag of squeaky curds and you feel like you have stepped back into history. So like those little gems just really fill your heart and make you feel connected to this beautiful state.
It also spoils you though, that once you know that you can stop someplace and get curds that are as fresh as can be, you won't just pick something up at a store anymore, unless again, they've got like a little sign saying these were just dropped off this morning or something. And again, it's something pretty much only seen in Wisconsin. And when you explain it to people in other states about curds and curds that squeak, it really throws them off. But
it does.
But we do have those attractions. So, well,
you know, there's a cheat for the squeaky curds.
There's a what?
A cheat. if you put it in the microwave for just a few seconds.
We've mentioned that. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Luke, did I neglect you? Did you have a couple of roadside attractions or road trip stops that you like to tell people about or that you always hit?
That I always hit. I don't know about that, but one of the ones that was cool, I go up to the UP every year. And so when on the way up there, now that I'm based in Madison, previously didn't go through central Wisconsin a lot, always from the Milwaukee area. So went up through Green Bay, Crivitz that way. But a few years ago, we went up through Wausau for the first time, and we went and saw it's the center of the Northwestern Hemisphere. So it's the 45.
You mean over by Wausau there on off 29?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've gone to go see that. I've seen that sign forever. This geographic marker.
Mm-hmm.
You're at 45 degrees north and 90 degrees west. So I mean, you are smack in the middle of that by a compass point, and it is it's very strategic or noteworthy. It's also the least overwhelming. It's the most underwhelming roadside attraction ever.
It is, but it's really
literally
cool.
Just a marker.
It is. It's a marker, but it's cool because it's one of four points on the entire globe that exists this way. And the other two are two of the four are in mountains that you can't really get to, and the other one's in the middle of like the ocean. So it's like one of the four points that you can actually get to, but it's the center of that quadrant of the world.
And because of that, and because that's what makes it unique, I have always expected that place would be where, you know, there you'd be able to buy like crystals or that, you know, a cult would, you know, put its headquarters there and talk about doomsday. And yet there is quite literally nothing all around it, and it's not like right off 29. It's you got to go look for it.
Well, I knew what I was looking for, so I went and found it, and there was a gorgeous sunflower field, and we got some sunflowers that you could purchase them from the local clip your own sunflowers. So we did that, and then if you go downtown Wausau, they actually give you a little copy of the geographical marker if you show them like a photo that you were there, and so you get like a little keepsake to take with you. It's on a shelf at my house.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Aww.
So it was a fun little roadside. We had lunch in Wausau. Then after that, we walked the dog, got some sunflowers, got the little keepsake, and then headed up to the UP for the rest of the drive. Broke up the drive really nicely.
See, I like that we're mentioning kind of these small understated things, because I know for other people, you know, a roadside attraction to them is all of Wisconsin Dells, you know, or all of Lambeau Field. You know, we do have some big things.
I've got one.
What?
Goats on the roof at Al Johnson's in Door County.
Yes, that's right.
That's like a destination almost, though. You're not driving through anywhere. You're like, you're not driving past there. You're ending up in Sister Bay. I guess you could go to what's the island?
Washington Island. Because if you wanted to go see some lavender in Washington Island, or maybe go to the Bitters Bar, the only bar in Wisconsin that was opened all the way through Prohibition, then that would be, you know, a roadside attraction.
There we go. So we found a road trip that would include it. There we go.
There we go. Yeah. Okay. Some others we missed. The world's largest six-pack.
Lacrosse.
In Lacrosse. Yep. There you go. That which is still there. We've talked before about the Sputnik crash site in Manitowoc. Not really a roadside attraction. As again, it's just a marker in the middle of the street, but you know, it's a little something. Now we're getting again to the more commercial ones like House on the Rock, or in this case, Rock in the House, you know, in Fountain City. We had a reader sent in Dr. Evermore's Sculpture Park in North Freedom, a weird sculpture park. Think if Picasso did sculpture, an outdoor gallery with hundreds of installations that range in size and are made up of metal salvage. So, you know, the Mars Cheese Castle in Kenosha. I have not stopped there, but you can't help but see the great big sign that's there. Luke, you didn't mention the Mustard Museum in Middleton. Can't believe that's not a roadside attraction.
It's not a roadside attraction for me. I could go anytime. I'm right here. It's local for me.
And we also had from some of our listeners and readers, the Wisconsin Concrete Park on Highway 13 south of Phillips, St. Peter's Dome south of Ashland, and This one's more of a festival, but somebody really wanted to promote Oktoberfest in Dallas, in Barron County. Mm-hmm. So just we're going to talk more about beers, breweries, tours, Oktoberfests, and more in a later edition. But thank you for road tripping across Wisconsin with Kristen Lyerly and Luke Mathers and me. And we'll get to, were you raising your hand or are you
cheering? We forgot the world's largest penny.
World's largest, where's that?
Woodruff.
Okay, there. We close
on
that note.
Come on, Pat.
We'll have more after this. You're up north.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. You're listening to Up North News.
Hey, look, we don't have to get carried away with this. It is also, by the way, one of two big points of marital discord in the Kreitlow household. And I'm going to say the only two things that we passionately turn out we disagree right. about. And this was the second one. And we'd been married 15 or 20 years when she finally admitted she hates Hall & Oates. And she knows what a big fan I am. So now when it comes on the radio, I turn it off if we're in the car together. Breaks my heart, but, you know, she also knows I've mocked, you know, one of her old favorites, you know, Air Supply endlessly. I tease about it all the time. That was our second big piece of marital disagreement. Our first fight was over the rules of Monopoly, which I've come to learn Aww. Later on is not that unheard of because there are different house rules everywhere. Whether on the free parking space, do you put $200 in it already? You know, if you roll doubles three times, you go to jail. Some things that you just assume are in the rules, you play with somebody else and you realize, oh no, they've done something different. And we realized we were not going to agree. And she didn't like board games that much anyway. So that was kind of the end of our Monopoly, but in a weird twist of parental karma, my daughters love Monopoly. So I'm good. I'm good with that.
And you've seen your marriage through some really hard times.
Yeah, we've disagreed over Monopoly and Hall & Oates. And that's how we got to be married 35 years, by talking our way through these disagreements.
See, I have to help you though, Pat, then. I got to play all the Hall & Oates possible now so that you can hear it and enjoy it. And then you don't have to worry about starting a little fight at home.
I like the way you're making it clear that my wife does not and will not listen to the show because she has an actual job. And that job as an OBGYN is, again, what Dr. Lyerly does, but out of the goodness of her heart, she joins us every Wednesday because of her previous work as a candidate for office and her passions on political matters. And so we're going to talk just a little bit about that. But I'm going to tie it in with one of Luke's guests this afternoon, Scott Ross, who, when he was with One Wisconsin Now, they made that one of their signature issues, student loan debt. Mm-hmm. And at the time when they first did it, people said, oh, you know, that's not something that's going to connect with people. And they were wrong, because student loan debt has just blown up, you know, over the past, you know, 20 years or so compared to when some of us were younger. But Kristen, you had to have come out of med school with a little debt that you had to take care of.
I still have debt.
You still have debt.
Yeah, I still have a lot of debt, actually. I mean, when I left medical school, I had $250,000 in student loan debt. And now I still have about $130,000, but it's at a really low interest rate. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us refinanced, because that was when rates started to go up, was when I was in medical school. So a lot of us refinanced to really low rates. That all changed in right around 2010. A lot of things changed.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, that was when it got so much more expensive to borrow, when tuition started going up, and really it became so much more expensive in general just to go to school. And this, I think, and I don't want to steal your thunder here, because I just saw an alert come through on my phone that Biden is going to cancel $10,000 in student debt for most borrowers and $20,000 for Pell recipients. That's what the Washington Post is reporting. I think it's going to be life-changing for a lot of people, especially people who are struggling to make ends meet right now.
The fact that I can't relate to this on a certain level, I think, is actually really telling about how the times have changed. When you know, my wife came out of med school, it was $50,000 of debt that we had, not $250,000. And as Scott Ross would like to say, when he and I were of college age, you could pay for tuition with a summer job. Mm-hmm. A summer job covered tuition. There's not a chance in hell there's a place now where your summer job can do that. And what I'm saying is my inability to share that perspective financially just tells you how bad it's gotten for college affordability. And that mm-hmm. to me is a real failing of legislatures and Congresses over the past couple of decades to keep higher education affordable. And I've got to think, Kristen, and the younger physicians that you talk to coming out, and just anybody who's gone to college, this is a very big deal. And while $10,000, you know, certainly isn't everything, it's more than almost any other government level has done in the past for higher education affordability.
It's huge. And my oldest two sons are in college, and this is what they and their friends talk about, because they are entering the world, they're entering their adulthood in such a hole that we have created for them. We have failed as a generation of leaders to give them a place where they can step into the world with a college degree and get a reasonable job and make a reasonable living for themselves. They just don't see that as what their future holds for them.
We're talking with Kristen Lierley about all manner of things, because she is not a she's not a specialist when it comes to talk. She's a general practitioner all
Let's
the way.
Let's talk about gynecology. Let's do that for a while.
I have to sometimes really be mindful, being the spouse of an OBGYN, that sometimes I think I'm about to tell a story and realize, no, that's not a story that you normally hear out in public.
Pat, this is an opportunity to expand our boundaries, to be able to talk about things like that. For example,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to see like how uncomfortable you got when I said, for example, like I was going to list off things like, you know, like peeing in your pants or abnormal bleeding, you know, like these things, those are the gentle ways to say it. But honestly, people who come into my office are dealing with these issues. More women have them than don't have them. Yet we can't talk about it, even with our closest friends. So if we could just share some of these problems that we're having, maybe we would be able to enact some of these simple solutions that we have to fix them and live better lives.
I can't take issue with that, because again, being married to somebody who comes home with many of those same observations. And what would really help is if people felt more free to talk about things that are bothering them, you know, ask questions, don't just look for all the answers on the internet. And B, there's something called history and physical. And so many people come in, honestly, don't know all the medicines they are currently on, all the prescriptions that they're on, or they don't keep track of, you know, their periods, or if they're having, say, problem with headaches, but they haven't tracked it, or they're not tracking their diet, whatever the case may be. So basically, I'm just making the case for you that, you know, help your doctor by having a better base of knowledge when you first walk in on what's going on with you.
You're so right. And it's smart people. I'm sometimes shocked at people will show you their prescriptions and they'll say, I'm taking this for this condition. And it's not. They don't know what it is and they don't know what they're treating and they don't know how they interact. And it's not just about giving somebody a pill. It's about all the lifestyle stuff. We can't just treat you with a pill. We've got to look at how much sleep are you getting? Are you getting any exercise? What do you do for joy? Is your heart full? All of that contributes to your overall health and well-being. So it's never just as easy as running a diagnostic test and prescribing you a pill. And that is why it all ties into politics, because the decisions that we are making, that our leaders are making on our behalf, are making it possible or not for us to be able to have a vacation every once in a while, eat healthy food, all of those things that make us healthy human beings.
Well, things like, you know, if we expanded Badger Care and other health insurance coverage so that fewer people skip going to the doctor because mm-hmm. they're afraid they can't afford it, mm-hmm. Paid family leave, paid care, you know, or the caregiver and daycare tax credits that Governor Evers proposed yesterday in his surplus plan. These are all things geared toward quality of life which means quality of health issues. And while those are, it takes more time to say that than just says shrink government, you know, which is what we hear instead. And right. For some people that resonates until they actually need help with something. Right. And these are the kinds of things that, again, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about. We've hit this in both of our previous hours, that while you acknowledge people's kitchen table issues, there are other, you know, things that need to be talked about, and we shouldn't be afraid to talk about them, especially in an election as crucial as this.
Mm-hmm. It's all these political games. So I had my class reunion this past weekend, and my classmates are all over the board politically, and I'm really out there on Facebook, so they all know like where I stand. But you know, we can talk about these things, and we talked about politics, and we talked about abortion, all of the dicey things. It was surprising to me how comfortable they felt talking about these things. But ultimately, everybody kind of decided that the least common denominator was that nobody was happy. Nobody was happy with their leaders. Mm-hmm. But when you ask people, who is your state representative? They didn't know. So, you know, the onus really is on us to hold our leaders accountable and to make sure that we're asking them questions and not just assuming that they're going to make decisions in our best interest. Because when we do that, they do things like hold $4 billion of budget surplus back. $4 billion that could be spent right now for Wisconsinites who have needs. They refuse to spend it because of political games.
It's a heist.
They refuse to expand Medicaid because of what? No reason. It's free money. And it's been free money for a decade. But they refuse to spend it because of political games.
Right.
Think of all the lives that could have been saved.
And for those who are saying, oh, you know, there's no such thing as free money, the point being, this is something that, as part of the Affordable Care Act, is already called for. It's already in the budget. The money is already going out. So when you say no to it, it's not that it goes away. It goes to other states, just like high-speed rail did. That money, when Scott Walker turned it down, didn't just go away. It went to other states. So there's nothing that is thrifty about that. It is as penny wise and pound foolish as it gets.
And that's our money. I mean, originally that money comes from Wisconsinites that we pay to the federal government, and then it ends up going to other states.
Right. But you were talking about the conversations that you were having at your class reunion, and you even had an interesting one wearing one of your Minocqua Brewing Company t-shirts recently.
Oh, it's true. So we did this fat bike tour of Green Bay the other day, and I was wearing my Minocqua Brewing Company, the least popular place in town t-shirt. And this fellow walked up to me and he said, yeah, that Minocqua Brewing Company, they're terrible. I hear the guy who owns that place is like living with a bunch of his college roommates and he's bankrupt and it's terrible. And I was like, oh no, they're rocking it. They're having so much fun. They're really making a difference. They're being very politically active. They've got a super PAC. And it started this, he was like completely taken aback. He had no idea how to respond to that. But we kept talking and we started talking about shared values and the things that were important to us. And 2 hours later, we're still talking. We're Facebook friends now, and we're going back and forth about all this other stuff. Because, you know, once you can get past that crusty stuff, all of those messages that are just delivered to us, that are spoon-fed to us, and we really look at the meaning behind them, there is so much there that we share. We just have to get back to those community values.
And it's in those conversations that you can then go with something like, you know, you may hear that they or somebody is diabetic, needs insulin. It's there that you can mention, you know, that there was an effort to have, you know, caps on the price that, you know, again, Evers is proposing, that Democrats were proposing, that Republicans were against. That you can say the same thing with, you know, daycare costs and daycare availability and things like that. But again, if you lead with that, they're like, oh, you just want to talk politics. Is that it? But in each one of these conversations is that kernel of commonality where you hope they then realize who is actually working on their behalf.
It's the iceberg of commonality. The tip of the iceberg is Democrat or Republican, but the actual iceberg is the stuff that we tend to agree on, or at least care about and want to talk about more. So how do we get to that again?
And again, you know, it's one conversation at a time. And we've discussed earlier this morning with the candidates, how you do it. And it's just, it's knocking on those doors. You would have really liked, I think you caught part of, you know, the four candidates that we were talking to, and you've talked about the candidates in Northeast Wisconsin as well, that they're working it.
We've got some really incredible candidates. We just have to be able to get the message out there, and we have to be able to override some of the ugly messaging that people are listening to.
Okay. Kristen Lyerly is here. We will wrap up our hour and our daily coffee break right after this. You're up north. Did there. We were talking earlier about TV series finales, and while Luke is too young for this, I do recall the end of the Newhart series, and Kristen, you said that you do too. Mm-hmm. It was the greatest series finale ever when Bob Newhart, you know, gets hit in the head in his Vermont inn, and he collapses to the ground and blacks out, and then the lights come on. And it's Bob Newhart in his old bed from his old TV series, waking up next to Suzanne Pleshette, his wife from that series. And I literally screamed. And you could hear the audience as well, because they weren't let in on it. But that was the coolest, that you can reach back to your previous series wife and wake up with them. I loved it. You, I know you didn't love it as much as I did, but
It's adorable. No, that's really sweet that people of your generation could have that kind of entertainment and just really feel like that it was wholesome and lovely.
People of your generation. We gathered around the radio and we listened to Abbott and Costello.
And the Lone Ranger.
Now they're listening to Kreitlow and Lyerly and Mathers. How far have we really come, ladies and gentlemen? Brewers living up to the notion that if you're going to lose, lose badly. Do it when most of your fans are asleep. Dodgers beat up Corbin Burns, and they win 10-1. Corbin Burns only gave up 7 of the runs. Mm. Victor Caratini, the catcher, gave up 3 runs when he pitched in the 8th inning.
Wow.
The series finale is this evening. And then they come home for 3 against the Cubs and 3 against the Pirates. Looks like there's going to be some passing fronts over the next few days here. Friday might be dry, but Thursday and Saturday might not be. So as you take these road trips, Kristen, yours, again, you love these long bike rides. So I suppose you've had more than your share in inhospitable weather.
Wait a minute. Before, as long as you mentioned passing fronts, we need to talk about the Packer game tomorrow night in Kansas City.
Oh, okay. Yes, right. You are our official Packers preseason correspondent.
I am.
On the radio show of a host who couldn't give a rat's butt about preseason football. I'm all in for week 1, but you know, these things you pay more attention to, being that you're right there on the frozen tundra. So
I am.
There's a game in Kansas City tomorrow.
There is a game in Kansas City tomorrow. And the number one thing I always think of when I think of the Packers in Kansas City is the fact that we own them in the Super Bowl. Always. That's
always
a little history for you kids. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And
bike
then,
rides. Did you want to talk about bike rides?
Sure.
I'll talk about bike rides all day long.
Oh, can you? Okay. Because uh-huh. What was your biggest one or most memorable of this past summer?
We went up to Canada and did a bunch of riding up in Canada, which was fantastic. We found this island called Manitoulin, and it's the largest freshwater island in the world. It's the middle of Lake Huron, and it's like up north Wisconsin. It's very rural, lots of camping and farms and local produce and like walking back in time. So that was a total joy. But just biking around Wisconsin, there are so many things and so many places. Door County, there's a Door County Century coming up in a couple of weeks. That's a fantastic ride. If you've never done an organized ride, that is a great place to start. They've got a 25 miler for openers. You get donuts and lots of other good food, and people are cheerful, and you get to watch the Vikings Packer game at the end.
Well, and there's one coming up Labor Day weekend, Saturday, around the Wausau area that I know we've got that jotted to do a preview about that. And yeah, there are 3 different size courses, something like, you know, 30 and 50 and 100 or something like that. And I can't even fathom a 100-mile bike ride.
Oh, it's so much fun. And the biking culture and community in Wisconsin is growing rapidly. It's just this really fun light, get out there, be healthy, be together, enjoy this time. Since COVID, I think even more so, people are just really enjoying being together again.
Do you think that the e-bike trend, you know, the electronic bikes that are, you know, somewhere between a bike and a scooter or a motorcycle, you feel like that's kind of cheating and that people aren't going to get the health benefits of biking if they've got this new technology to embrace instead?
I think if that's what you need to get you out on two wheels and get you outside, then go for it. But when I pass somebody on an e-bike, I do always say under my breath, cheater. No, but seriously, I mean, and I really have seen a ton of e-bikes out and people who otherwise probably wouldn't be out there. So if that's what, you know, gets you out there, then beautiful. Get out there, be together, build community, get some exercise, enjoy this beautiful area that we have. There's so much to do.
See, now I don't want to bring up your injuries. And when I note that, you know, not, you still have to be careful out there. There's still hazards like everything else.
Yeah, it's true. But it's, you know, it's fairly safe. And there are some big events where they do these mass rides. Like, for example, there's a Fat Tire Tour in Milwaukee, and we did one this past weekend in Green Bay, where you ride in a big group of people, kind of slow. You're disrupting traffic a little bit, but people are getting used to bikers being out on the road. And we need more of that so that cars and pedestrians and bikers can all coexist. I think for a long time, we didn't see a lot of bikers on the roads, and cars really have struggled. There have been a lot of accidents. But, you know, by being present and by knowing what the rules are, being familiar with each other, that's going to make us all a little bit safer.
There are, in more cities, especially, a greater effort to have bike lanes and in some cases, completely separated bike lanes, not just paint on the pavement. And, you know, it's all faith-based. I hope the car driver sees the paint, but to actually block off that path and to make cities more pedestrian and bike friendly, there's certainly a lot of work to do yet, but I have to imagine every time you're in an area where they are forward thinking that way, it catches your attention in a pleasant way.
Oh yeah. Remember Complete Streets? Back in the day before the Walker administration, we had a law that when you had, and I don't know the particulars of the law, but when you put in a new road, you had to have some sort of a bike or walk lane to encourage people to get out in their communities and not feel like they had to take their car to go to the grocery store that was a 1 mile walk, but maybe, you know, take a wagon and a backpack and get a little exercise while you get your groceries. Ideally, that is what a healthy community looks like. So it all ties back to politics. But, you know, for me, I mean, I'm comfortable biking anywhere. I've got a pretty versatile bike and I just love to get out and talk to people. And I've got one of those fat bikes that people always laugh at when you see them going down the road. And then sometimes they'll pull me over and like ask questions about it. But I think it inspires them because I look so ridiculous on my bike. They're like, oh, if you can do it, I can certainly do it.
You look ridiculous on your bike and you think that's you think that attracts people to riding.
Yeah.
I think we have a different view of what constitutes not looking attractive while you're out and about. Before my knees gave out, I'd like to run. I'd go on these 5 mile runs.
That's why your knees gave out.
What's that?
That's why your knees gave out.
Well, probably, but it didn't help that you talk about not looking attractive on something. I had to run past a cow field on a bike trail. And the cows are lumbering, and it's hard to tell where the cows end and where Pat begins in terms of the lumbering along the fence line. And look where that got me. Let's do this again next week, Kristen. Thank you.
Oh, Pat, I just love you.
And Luke loves zucchini, and we're gonna see what I can bring him later this week. Yet, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you Thursday. You're up north.